We'll have to get past them. It's turned dark.
Okay. Okay. Today is Thursday, July 1st, 2004, and I am Barbara Hodgden, and I am interviewing Nancy Murdoch, who was a Peace Corps volunteer in St. Kitts.
St. Kitts.
Serving in an education, health education type project from April of 1974 until June of 1976. Okay, that's the official part I have to do. So, to start with, Nancy, could you just give your name and current address?
Nancy Murdoch, Post Office Box 3283, Santa Barbara 93130.
Okay. Let's start out by talking about what you're doing today.
I'm a marriage family therapist in a psychiatry department at Sansom Santa Barbara Medical Foundation
and
Clinic.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been working there since 1980. I have been licensed since the end of 1984. So
okay.
Over 20 years.
Okay. So you've almost the entire time since you've been back from Peace Corps.
Right.
So, we'll come back to that topic, but in the meantime, let's skip back. And can you share with us what you were doing prior to going into the Peace Corps? Maybe backtrack, say, a year before you went into the Peace Corps. What was your life like at that point in time?
I can do that. That seems much less relevant.
Does it?
Not really in some ways. I was living in San Francisco and going to graduate school, getting my master's degree in health science.
Oh, okay.
I was working as a travel agent, that's how I put myself through school.
Oh, okay. Well, then how did Peace Corps get on your screen, so to speak?
I majored in African Studies and International Relations undergraduate at UCLA. And that's always what I'd wanted to do. Then I was a social worker in South Central Los Angeles. And I had always wanted to do work overseas. When I was in college, I assumed I was going to join USAID or AID or, do something with the embassies, the Foreign Service. I would join the Foreign Service and work in Africa because that was my passion. When I was right after college, I worked for Pan Am, and I spent a month in Africa, and I wanted to go back the worst way in the world to work there.
And you ended up in St. Kitts.
Because I didn't know that you could turn down a Peace Corps offer.
Okay. Well, let's talk for a moment about that whole process of applying. How long did it take?
Didn't take too long. I applied, and I think maybe within 6 weeks, maybe, I don't remember.
Ooh.
I got an offer of a position, and it wasn't what I wanted because it wasn't in Africa, but I didn't realize and didn't check out whether or not I could turn the offer down.
Uh-huh.
And I have learned since that you can turn down two, and so I could have waited and then gone where I wanted to go, but I didn't know that. So it was a health education position in the West Indies, so I took it.
Okay. And you were part of a large group or a small group?
I was part of a group called Eastern Caribbean, EC-15s. And I think there were, I'm trying to remember, I should have counted the list because we had a reunion in April in New Orleans, but I think there were about 60 of us, and we went to many different islands in the Eastern Caribbean. But we trained together. We staged in New Orleans and trained in Barbados.
What was the training like?
You know, I hardly remember the training.
How long was it?
Good question. I think it was maybe 3 weeks. We had 4 days 4 days staging in New Orleans, and then I don't think it was a month, but it might have been. I should ask some of the other people in Barbados, where we learned about the culture, the history. But of course, there, because it was all part of the Eastern Caribbean, and they'd all been British colonies.
So you didn't have any language training that you needed to?
No, we did not need language training. But we did get some historical and cultural stuff.
And did you get health education training as well, or was it the group was too diverse for?
The group was quite diverse. It was everything from somebody working in the banking division of a couple of different islands to people trying to set up contracts with companies overseas for our, you know, for the islands where we worked, to teachers teaching in the secondary schools. It was totally diverse.
Right, right. So then when you finished training in Barbados, you all went your separate ways.
We all went our separate ways.
And what was your first impression of your locale and your assignment?
It seemed beautiful and comfortable. And
I should ask,
you know, I'm
specifically,
trying,
what was your assignment?
I didn't know until I'd been there for a few days, really. Okay. And I went to talk to the people who were head of health education there. And
let me
I had,
clarify, where was there?
There was in Basse-Terre, St. Kitts.
Okay, and was it a university or a hospital?
There was a branch of the University of the West Indies. They had a hospital,
uh-huh.
And they also had they also had public health nurses.
Okay. So you were just assigned to work with this agency.
Work with some of these groups.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of found, you know, found things I could do.
So what did you find to do?
They did put me in a little office at the university, and I think I did know at the beginning that I could help train teachers and teach at the university, at the Teachers Training College, which is what that branch of the university was. And I'm trying to remember how we also began to develop, I think what I did was kind of spend 3 months, because I was the only one, and then three other people came later that were part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
3 months I spent finding out what they needed. What do you need in terms of being able to offer health education in the schools? What training do the teachers need? What materials, etc.? And that's mostly, I think, what I did. Looking also at what villages might need, but that seemed to be pretty well taken care of.
And then what conclusion did you come to in terms of what the needs were?
They just needed some classes in how to teach health and a bunch of materials, because they had none. They were well-trained teachers. They were very good teachers. The teachers' training program was 3 years long, 1 year full-time, part of it back and forth,
mm-hmm.
so that they would teach and then come to the college. Some came all the way from Nevis, which is was a two-hour, I think, boat ride. I can't remember. And they would come once a week. It was a good, certification program for teaching. And I think we were training mostly secondary school teachers, but I don't remember.
Time marches on.
Yeah, I know the materials that we developed went all the way from K through what would be the equivalent of like grade 11.
Uh-huh.
Kind of O-level equivalent.
Right, right. Did your assignment involve any travel, or was the teaching all done at the university?
Well, I went around to different villages, because we also tried to set up a diabetes education program and some things like that to help some of the village people, the village public health nurses out with some things. But mostly, we really didn't need to do that, even though we did travel around and visit schools and get an idea of what they needed by visiting the different schools.
Right.
So we actually had a car for part of the time, which is unbelievable.
And the part of the time when you didn't have a car?
Didn't matter, because everything was in walking distance.
So you actually from were where assigned I lived. A Peace Corps car?
No, it was the government gave us a car.
Oh, okay.
They lent us one. No, it wasn't a Peace Corps car. It was the St. Kitts.
Uh-huh.
Had an extra car.
And when
car.
You say yes, you're referring to yourself and the other members
mm-hmm.
of the team,
mm-hmm.
who are all Peace Corps people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have a counterpart? In other words?
No. There was a counterpart who was getting her master's degree in England at the University of London. And so she came back with very much her own ideas. So a lot of the work I did was probably pointless, because, you know, she came back with a master's degree and a lot of experience, and she was a local person and and set things up maybe a little differently. I don't know. I don't know how much of the materials we developed were actually used.
Right. Did you have any overlap with the counterpart?
None. I did not. I left, and she came back 4 or 5 months later. And the one person that remained in health education had a little bit of contact with her, but not much.
Right.
They left right after, shortly after I did.
You spent the first 3 months, you said, sort of assessing what the needs were, and then you got into the business of teaching and developing materials.
Yeah.
After, from that point on, was the was your work pretty much the same thing throughout the balance of your assignment, or did it evolve in different ways?
I think it evolved in different ways, and also I there was the work there, and then I did some work with Paho Hu in Montserrat, and in running kind of conferences where the teachers there would get together and talk about what they needed, setting up their own programs. Oh, and that's something else I did. I should have said that. In assessing the needs, I went around from and had meetings in all the schools. That's why I drove around all the schools.
Yeah.
I went around, and the teachers would get together, and I would ask them, what do you need? What are you doing now? What do you need? Mm-hmm. How can we help? At that point, how can I help? And got that feedback.
Right. I'm going to stop the tape for just a second. Make sure that we're actually recording. Okay, we know our tape is working. So, you mentioned in the interim there something else that you did.
We did a radio program called Health Hotline.
Hmm.
And that was a disagreement I had with some of the other members, because I thought it should be the local people doing it, and they wanted to do it all themselves. Well, I just, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And so one of us would do it different weeks with different local people, so it was all of us, you know. And that was really interesting, and there was one very funny experience that I probably shouldn't talk about on tape.
That's up to you.
Well, what happened was, it was a tape about the carnival coming up and people being careful and taking care of themselves, and women having good boundaries, whatever the words we would have used in those days. And I did it with one of the local science teachers. Well, I hadn't read the script beforehand. Someone wrote it. So we're just doing it, you know. And it was, I'd read part of the script, but not the whole thing. And we're reading it. And the last line is, he says, you need to know that in this, at the carnival, they had floats. And they had one of the floats, the woman was throwing condoms out. But anyway, or maybe that was, I don't remember whether that really happened or was a fantasy. I don't remember. But anyway, or whether someone was joking about it. But the last line, the other science professor, science instructor at the college read it, and then he started to giggle and he looked over at me, and I stopped and he did this. So I read the last line, which was, "So this year, ladies, be sure you before you get it on, be sure he's got it on." And then I went, ah! And so the radio station promised they wouldn't run it, that they'd cut that part out. They didn't wait till right before carnival, because we taped the programs, and they went around to several islands in the area. He promised he wouldn't run it, because this was, what is it, West Indies Radio or whatever. He wouldn't run it, and it wasn't supposed to be run for 2 weeks anyway. He ran it that very day. So the mother of the prime minister comes up to me and goes, or premier in that point, and said, before you get it on. And there was a Peace Corps guy visiting, and I got called out about 10 o'clock at night right after it ran on the radio to a hotel on the other end of the island to be told that I shouldn't do that. And I just went, because the Peace Corps is not allowed to talk about birth control.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm a health educator, and we're not allowed to talk about birth control. Okay, whatever. But it's like...
Have you told that one around, storytelling around the campfire?
I don't know.
You have
I don't
to remember.
Remember
that one for the next annual event.
Oh, well, anyway, so you can erase it from the tape. But
no, that's fine.
It's, yeah, right. That was one of the But the radio program was kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
And we got a lot of local people to write the programs and read them, and so it was kind of cool.
Like it was connecting with people.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We'd get comments, you know.
Changing the subject a little bit, what were your living circumstances as a Peace Corps volunteer there?
You know, it's really weird, but I can't remember where I lived when I first came there.
You changed?
Somehow I found a place to live, and I don't remember that process. I know I took the house of a Peace Corps volunteer who was leaving in a village, which was 200 yards from downtown Basse-Terre. And it was a really nice little, believe it or not, a little three-bedroom house. It had running water, electricity. Mm-hmm. Didn't have hot water, but it was really nice. It had a little garden.
Now, were you living alone in
this
house?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I turned the front room into a playroom for the local kids in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And so, because kids hung out there all the time, it was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And that they were attracted to the fact that these four people lived in that house?
Yeah, I think they were attracted to the fact that somebody lived in that house who was friendly and had stuff, you know. I don't think they could have cared less whether I was Peace Corps.
Right.
You know, right. I think anyone really cared less, because there were so many volunteers there. British service overseas, I don't think that Peace Corps was really, it didn't matter whether we were CUSO or Peace Corps, or, you know.
So there were many volunteer types of organizations there.
Yeah.
Right. At the end of your Peace Corps, had things changed much? Were you ready to come back?
I was torn. I kind of wanted to stay forever, and I wanted to leave. And it just, you know, the person replacing me, the Peace Corps volunteer, they were already there. Mm. It just...
You actually had overlap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they weren't going to be doing the same thing because the other person was coming back, but I couldn't hang around. I didn't want to hang around long enough for the other person. I could have maybe redone my job, like someone that worked with me that came a mm-hmm. year and a half or a year after I started, who was a dental hygienist who was setting up dental health programs, and she put that into the teacher's training program also. And she stayed there 5 years.
Mm.
And so, you know, I probably could have, we all invented ways to stay, and there was never a problem doing that. But it felt to me like it was time to come home.
Right. As you reflect back on those 2 years, are there things that stand out as either particular accomplishments or joys?
My joys, part of my joy was working with the kids in the village and just being around them a lot. I liked interacting with the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a wonderful experience. And I contributed by filling a slot that could have been filled by someone else, including a local person, mm-hmm. and was. And it felt good.
Mm-hmm. As you reflect back, anything you would put in the failure category in terms of the experience you had?
There were some bad experiences that we don't need to talk about, but failure, not exactly failure, you know.
Would it be useful to, you know, in terms of the history of Peace Corps, to mention any of that? I'll leave that up to you, the bad experiences?
Well, just, you know, someone was killed, and he was jumping on to a train that was...
Was this a Peace Corps person?
Mm-hmm. Mm. He jumped off a train. They were harvesting. Yeah, he was one of the ones that worked with us for a little while and just couldn't do it.
Mm.
He ended up helping build a bridge, and he just kind of hung out and found things to do.
Mm.
That's how focused we were.
Uh-huh.
It was great. He was a neat guy, though, and he hung out and just you want to build some steps? I can help with that. Just hung out. But they were coming back from the harvesting of the cornfields late at night, and one of the things that people did would go out and drink and watch them harvest. And then they were jumping off the train when it headed back into town, and he didn't notice that there was a big... he jumped, and it was a big drop rather than just the ground there. There was a... It was on the edge of a 10-foot little cliff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was real sad.
Right.
Then somebody else was sent home with cancer. We had some older people with us, people our age, people in
now,
their 60s
now,
and 60s, and people in their 70s,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it was a safe place in a lot of ways to go at that time.
Right.
Of course, it's
Let's
changed
see, it's
now.
Been almost 30 years since you came back.
Oh, it has been 30. Well, it's been 30 years since I went.
Since you went, yes.
Yeah.
So as you reflect back, has that Peace Corps experience made a difference in the rest of your life? Has it influenced it?
Yeah, it made me realize I didn't want to be a health educator in the U.S.
Okay.
Because even though there was much less starvation and hunger and health problems there than there were in many places, it made me realize that what we were trying to teach them there was how to make, in terms of nutrition, how to make things last longer. And here it's excess. And I just, it didn't feel comfortable with the health education jobs I got when I got back.
Yeah.
So that's when I went back to school to become a psychotherapist.
Okay.
But you know, that country had a lower maternal child death rate than the U.S. does. So if I had found a venue to be, you know, like a public health nurse, but that wasn't my background.
In terms of the Peace Corps' third goal, bringing the world back home, have you addressed that in any way in the year since?
Well, I don't know. I've certainly recommended to a lot of people that they'd consider joining the Peace Corps. I've shared with a number of people how other countries that we may not think know much, do a better job than we do in a lot of ways, and how much we sometimes disrespect countries that aren't as well developed as we are, and we should not.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether I've really brought much back.
And
then there's always reggae. I can always share my love of Bob Marley, man.
There you go. There you go. Have you continued in any way to be involved with St. Kitts?
Mm-mm.
Have you been? You haven't been back.
No, and I'd really like to. I'm afraid to. I think I couldn't go back for a long time. And by the time I had the money and the ability to be able to go back, it had changed so much. I was afraid to.
Oh, do you think you may in the future sometime?
I don't know. The changes that have occurred there, with it being one of the major drug transshipment areas for cocaine, with the American students being kind of in effect held hostage by some drug lords, it's changed so much. It would be like people going back to Montserrat finding that it had collapsed.
Mm-hmm. Is Peace Corps still in St. Kitts?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think of where people are in the Eastern Caribbean. I would imagine there are still some people there, but that's something to check out. And I don't know, we didn't talk about that. Current volunteers, whether there are some in Barbados or Antigua, wherever there might be. I don't know how many EC volunteers, if they still have programs there.
Right, right. We're doing the oral history interview as part of the really recording what the Peace Corps was through its many years. Is there anything in particular that comes to your mind that, you would want to share with people who may in the future be looking back at the early, because the 70s is part of the early history of Peace Corps?
There was so much hope and the desire to contribute somehow, and that sense of, I really also wanted to experience other people and bring that home with me. But that sense of trying to contribute and, help people reach for their goals and help them get there, I think was part of the dream that a lot of us have.
I can relate to that.
I bet.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed so much sitting down and hearing your story. I hope we've touched on the important parts. And if you think of other things, we can pull out another tape.
I'll let you know. Thanks, Barbara.